Good morning. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 9:05 a.m. on Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Present today are Representative Thompson, Representative Carpenter, Representative Laban, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Josephson, Representative Wool, Representative Johnson, myself, Co-Chair Merrick. We also have Senator Stevens with us this morning. Good morning. We will consider Senate Bill 45 today, Age for Nicotine E-Cigarettes Tax E-Cigarettes by Senator Stevens. This is the bill's second hearing. We last considered it on April 29th. Amendments were due to my office yesterday, and we have six amendments before the committee this morning, and we have one pending with Ledge Legal. So welcome back, Senator Stevens. Would you like to make opening comments before we move forward with amendments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Gary Stevens. District P. Appreciate you hearing this bill again. Of course, what we're addressing is the danger of making an addiction to kids in Alaska, and we hope we can make some progress on this. I've seen the amendments. Anxious to hear what happens to them.
Great. Thank you. Discussion before amendments? Hearing none. We will take up amendment number six first. The other ones will take in the order they were received, but we're going to consider amendment number six as it deals with definitions that relate to the other amendments. So amendment number six is by Representative Josephson. Is there a motion?
I move amendment six.
Okay. There's been an objection. Representative Josephson.
Yes. I'd like to do this in two parts, Madam Co-Chair. The first is to give you a quick summary of what this amendment does, and then invite Mr. Lampkin at your permission to describe it in more detail and answer questions. The first thing it does is it defines closed and open vape systems. It taxes a closed system entirely, and here I'm talking about the apparatus. It taxes a closed system entirely as a unit, targeting disposable pens and something called puff bars. It taxes only the liquid used inside and not the hardware associated with the item. And as to open systems, it specifically excludes batteries, chargers, empty tanks, pods, and cartridges. The amendment is designed to more clearly carve out marijuana products, and it makes the effective date January of next year to be in compliance with the feds for their T21 mandate and associated grant money.
Wonderful. Mr. Lampkin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens.
We were joined by Representative Rasmussen at 9:07. Mr. Lampkin.
Allow me a moment to unpack these definitions. So to help the committee members and public understand the nature of these devices, the most common device out there would very much resemble, say, for example, this pen right here. It's sealed. You can't access its components. It's the most conveniently bought. It's the singularly most popular thing on the market for market share. It's available readily right now down the street in groceries, well, maybe not grocery stores, but convenience stores, gas stops. It's designed to be puffed on and disposed of. Those are what we're considering a closed system, and we would tax the entire unit as a sealed integrated unit. That's how they're traded and bought, retail, wholesale, and so forth. Because in this instance, to do otherwise, it would require someone to apportion the value of that liquid inside of it. And it's common among other states that they have this very careful definition to include first a closed system as such a unit. Meanwhile, we have what's considered an open unit that are also popular because you can take them apart. They have accessories that you can swap out, hardware, a mouthpiece, a battery, a related charger, and very importantly, this part that's considered various vernacular, but a cartridge, a pod, a tank, and that's what you put the juice in. And so when these are bought and sold empty, we want to hold those harmless. We've negotiated and agree that we won't tax the parts, the hardware. In this instance of an open system, we specifically target the juice that you put in that tank. That's the distinction that this amendment makes, and it's a key component to the bill. That is the summary of this amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you. That was very helpful. Representative Wolf.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Thank you, Mr. Lampkin, for the demonstration with the pen. At first, I thought that was an actual smoking device. I was like, wow, they're getting sophisticated. My question first is, if you buy a starter kit that has all the components in one little box, are you taxing the whole box? I'm assuming you are, but maybe you can answer that. The whole box would be taxed since you can't separate out the individual components.
Through the chair, Representative Wohl. So in this instance, these kits, the purpose here again is the negotiated intent and of the bill is to target the liquid in this instance. And presumably that kit would consist of the components, the device, and it would also consist of a pod. This is an actual juice that I bought myself for $1, by the way. This is presumably in that kit. It can also be sold separately on the shelf. And so in that instance, it shouldn't be too difficult to identify the value of that one bottle as opposed to it being part of the kit.
Representative Wolf.
So and this is taxed at the wholesale level, not the retail level, am I correct?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Through the chair, yeah. Through the chair again. So in the instance where it's one box, it's like similar when you buy vodka and it comes with a couple glasses on the side, they just tax the whole thing, I'm imagining. So, and also there's a retail tax, a local retail tax, I would imagine, on a lot of these products. But what you're saying is if there's three components, they can just sort of extrapolate what the nicotine component's value is and tax accordingly. It sounds like that's what you're saying.
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, that would be the intent, certainly. It's not unreasonable to do so.
One last follow-up.
Yes, follow-up.
Thank you. Just to be clear, if the vapor liquid, the juice, the tank, whatever you want to call it, is a zero nicotine product, which does exist as we've discussed, although I think last week you said it was a super high percentage of what was sold, and I've heard subsequently that may not be the case, but regardless, if it's a zero nicotine product, it will also be taxed at the same rate as the other nicotine containing liquids. In other words, a percentage of nicotine has no bearing on the tax.
Through the chair, Representative Wohl, that is correct. Again, I'll reiterate that the quote, supposed zero nicotine content out there is a maybe 1%, if not certainly under 1% of the market share. This particular bottle here says no nicotine, but if you read the fine print which required a magnifying glass, literally it does say may contain trace amounts of nicotine. So the studies out there show that even though when they have been labeled and that they have no nicotine, when labs have tested them a substantial amount of time, there has been detected nicotine in these products.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have Representatives Rasmussen, Josephson, and Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through the chair. I just want to be clear on the record. It appears that there are products for cessation specifically that have absolutely no nicotine, tobacco, THC, or cannabis related products. And so if someone is vaping eucalyptus, for example, we're going to be taxing that cessation product at 45% along with nicotine.
As the bill, through the chair, Representative Rasmussen, as the bill is currently written, it doesn't matter what is in the device. If you're smoking it, it would be taxed. Again, I'd like to reiterate that the purpose of the bill is targeted for our children, that we want to create a policy that is creating a disincentive for these youngsters to begin the physical habit of smoking that will evolve, presumably, into a smoking habit.
Follow up?
So do you think that, through the chair, would you say that there's benefit to a parent having access to a cessation device when they may be vaping at home in front of a 6 or 7 year old, for example? I feel that if the goal is to deter children from vaping, that we should make cessation available, because having an adult in their life who may be vaping, probably one of the first prevention tasks, I guess, that you can do is to make sure that the parent stops vaping. Would you say that that's accurate?
Through the chair, Representative Rasmussen, I'm not quite sure I track with you there. What folks do in their home is their own business, and what parents choose to do and with their children is also their own business. This would just be making a policy, putting a policy in place that the state would recognize a lot of data, a lot of research out there that generally says smoking is bad and we should try to deter this, create disincentives to do so.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Madam Chair, since we have Mr. Lincoln here, if you just take a moment, it's apropos because it relates to the pen. If I could ask Mr. Lincoln, what is the cost of a typical closed system unit?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, that's a moving target. It's difficult to answer that. There's such a variety of products out there that I can only very generalize. I can tell you based on my own observations, sadly, I'm now in the habit of when I get gas or go to a store, I ask if they have these products and I ask what their prices are and so forth. A closed system can range, I've seen it as cheap as $10 and upwards to $20, $22 retail. It varies, again, because of the number of puffs and so forth, the expected life expectancy.
Thank you. And let the record reflect that 9:16, we're joined by Representative Edgman, Representative Josephson.
And similarly, through the chair, Mr. Edgman, the cost of an open system.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, those two very broadly. I've seen them start in the neighborhood of $50, maybe even as low as $40, again, depending on the sophistication. Some devices can be, you change the temperature on them so they can be used for products other than nicotine juices and so forth, and so those are going to be more expensive, upwards of $120, $150 to start. Those are generally known as mods, where you can modify the products.
And finally, as to the amendment, by carving away so that it's not applied to the batteries, the chargers, the empty tanks, et cetera, is part of the impulse for that to not upend the costs associated with smoking marijuana? Is that part of the motivation?
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, that isn't inaccurate. That has been negotiated with industry to try to hold harmless those components that aren't directly related to the liquid that's being consumed. That's the really, I guess you could say, the bad guy is whatever the substances that you're putting into your lungs was what's being targeted there, generally.
And finally,
let's follow up.
These are all policy points. I mean, we could have said, no, we're taxing everything. There's nothing that prohibits them, correct?
Through the chair.
We're just trying to be surgical.
Through the chair, Representative Joseph, that's correct. There's many other states that tax every part of it. It's quite common.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for my own education, I think I understand it. So on the closed system, it's a one-time use only, and then it's discarded with closed system devices. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, that's correct.
And then I assume that the sponsor of the bill is supportive of Amendment 6. Is that correct?
Through the chair, or Madam Chair, I just want to confirm that I don't have numbers on the amendments, but I do refer to the top right. I understand this is D7, Delta dot 7.
That's correct.
Therefore, Representative Cortez, that's correct.
Thank you.
Further discussion on Amendment Number 6? Hearing none. Representative Lebon?
I remove my objection.
Thank you. Is there further objection? Hearing none. Amendment Number 6 has been adopted. We will will move to amendment number one by Representative Wohl. Is there a motion?
I move amendment number one.
Object.
There's been an objection. Representative Wohl.
Thank you. Amendment number one, what's the word? Splits in two. I can't think of the word right now. But,
divides?
Well.
Separates?
No. Yeah. Sounds like, no, I can't remember. There's a fancier word for it. I can't think of it.
Eviscerate?
Eviscerate? No, no, no. Amendment number one. Anyhow.
Bifurcates?
Bifurcate. Thank you. That's the
Representative
word.
Rasmussen for the win.
Thank you. Bifurcates. What amendment number one does is it bifurcates different ages, similar to what we did with the marijuana bill that came through here. Basically, 18 to 21 years old, legally an adult. And I believe Mr. Lampkin, just in the last few minutes, says this bill is targeting children. I was glad to hear that. So at 18, you're a legal adult. You can vote. We had this discussion with the previous tobacco bill that came through here, in which I had an amendment that basically said, you know, 0 to 100, you can possess and smoke. But this bill, this amendment doesn't go that far. But that amendment did pass, by the way, as many recall. This one just says, if you're 18 to 21, you can't buy, and you can't buy tobacco products, and no one can sell them to you. A vendor sells it to you. If you're under 18, he's breaking the law, and you can't buy them. You're breaking the law. But you can possess, 18 to 21. And I know there's a lot of T21 language going around, and that's a phrase that means tobacco 21, I think. It's a catchy little thing that they market it with, T21. But it originates with federal law that we are told if we don't abide by federal law, we will lose out on some federal funding. But the federal law, according to my research and others, is only dealing with sale and purchase and not possession. And I have a chunk of federal bill here, starts on page 1492, and the language goes through several pages. It's part of an appropriation bill. But basically, T21 is about sale and purchase, not possession. And so with this amendment does, it says if you're under 18, you can't possess. We're going to use that rule that is in the bill. We're not going to change that. But if you're over 18, you still can't buy, and you still can't have it sold to you. But it's not illegal or against the law to possess. And I just feel at 18 years old, you can go to the military, you can buy a gun, you can be drafted, you can get married. You can do a lot of things. Now, there's things you can't do, but I think there's a little hypocrisy with the whole I'm an adult at 18, but you're not really, and that's another topic for another day. But, and I think possessing tobacco, if you're driving a car and you're 18 years old and there's a pack of cigarettes in it, I don't think that should be a violation. But if you're under 18, you shouldn't possess them, and the fine is a $50 fine. If you're under 18 with tobacco. And I think kids, the $300 I think is a lot for a kid. And I think right now we're smoking in schools, smoking in public spaces, smoking everywhere is pretty much prohibited. And if you smoke in school, they take it away and my kid goes to high school, there's a lot of rules about smoking in school. It's not tolerated at all, and it's a big push to not have kids vape in school. I think way more vaping and smoking. But it's already strictly against the rules, and they'll kick you out of school if they want to. They can do all kinds of things. But it'll be a $50 fine, and I don't even think they really fine that much. And I think juvenile justice or DHSS will back me up on that. So I just want to make the fine more reasonable for kids. And if you're over 18, you can possess, but you can't buy it, and you can't sell it to someone under 18. The military right now is not, their rule is you can't buy or sell, but they're not enforcing any kind of
smoking if you're over 18 and you're a soldier. And we have documentation on that, too. So that's my amendment. I'm sticking with it.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Madam Chair, first I would like to ask Mr. Lampkin or Senator Stevens their position on the amendment, if we might.
Yes. Senator Stevens? Mr. Lampkin.
Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Again, I want to confirm first, Amendment 1 is D8, Delta 8.
Correct.
Okay. A couple points here. First, I don't see any reference in this amendment as regards the fine, the penalty. This is just strictly as regards age for possession. Go ahead. If I'm looking, D8 has no reference to the fine.
Page so that's 2, line 10. 11 and 12?
Forgive me, I missed that. Okay. So, first, as regards age, there's out there what's called PUP laws, which stand for possession, use, and, or rather, purchase, use, and possession. There are 36 states presently and that have such laws that prohibit or restrict use to 21 years old. The federal government has, including President Trump, signed this into law that as regards purchase and sales, silent on possession, but did touch upon purchase. The military has made it clear that our troops are not healthy. They can't run up hills. They're failing at PT and basic training. Policy that standing orders on our bases is healthy troops is a healthy force to defend our country. Our localities, our municipalities are saying 21. Our schools are prohibiting it. Presumably most parents are prohibiting possession and use. And so by adopting this amendment as regards the age restriction, the state of Alaska is turning its back on everyone else to say that it's bad to use marijuana, it's bad to drink alcohol, it's bad to do a number of other things, but it's okay to use tobacco. That's what this amendment will do. I'll just leave it at that. As regards the penalty, currently in statute, the penalty, is $500 presently. It also currently on the books indicates that it's a mandatory court appearance with your parent or guardian. The bill as written negotiated to reduce that to $300, which is coincidentally in alignment with the sales violation. If you sell, if you're a clerk at the store and you're caught selling, it's $300. So the $300 in the bill right now, it aligns it with sales. It also creates a new bail schedule such that it strikes the necessity for a mandatory court appearance and makes that voluntary. So as the bill's written, it's literally like a traffic ticket, such that if you choose to challenge it, that's when you can go to court and say, hey, it's my first offense, I can't afford this, I won't do it again, it wasn't my fault, it was whatever circumstances, the judge could at that time lower it below 300, make it zero or whatever. And then finally, as regards the penalty, I mean, again, sometimes these devices, as was asked earlier, exceed $100 in value. Maybe not the closed systems, but the open mod stuff, if you're in possession of those things. So to make a penalty meaningful, I don't know how I could define that, but to sting, if you will, $300 seemed like a not unreasonable value, that it should be at least three digits. But that's certainly a policy call.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Mr. Lampkin. The amendment would allow 18-year-olds to possess. It seems to follow that a lot of 18-year-olds are seniors in high school. Is that a concern for you at all, that high school students would legally be able to possess, I don't know how they'd access them, but there are myriad ways. And once they did, they'd be in the clear.
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, again, I'll make the point again that this standing school policy is that, that there shall not be these products in possession or certainly not use. My own daughter, being 19, told me stories of seeing it in schools. Even my son, who's now 14, told me a story of finding it in sixth grade on a school bus, a product. I've even heard from others, staff in the building, talking about this, that their children were in third grade and they saw these things. So therefore, because we have students in school that are 18, I think that just opens the door up to a number of bad things, and this is not a good amendment.
Sure.
Follow up?
Actually, at this time, because I believe in economizing time and value the committee's time, rather than offering amendments 2 and 3, I would move to amend amendment 1, which is D.8, such that the fine would not be 50, but it would be $150. That would be the only amendment. Of course, I've offered amendment 6. We've adopted that. I won't be offering any other amendments. This is my amendment.
And so you have your conceptual amendment would amend amendment number 1 on page 2, line 11 and 12, would go from delete 300 on line 12 to insert 150?
Right.
Is there an objection? There's been an objection. Representative Wall.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I mean, I appreciate my colleague trying to split the baby or something like that, but studies have shown that the fine doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't. In fact, it just impacts low-income people more. And the fine is $500. Your kid's finding, they're telling about vapes in third grade. So how's the $500 fine working? How's that working for you? How's the 19-year-old thing working for you? It's not. What you need is public education. Communication, fines just make it harder on and what if you're I don't know what my colleague feels about the 18 or not, he's changing the fine, but $50, they're going to give out more tickets at $50. A teenager can afford $50, and as far as the price of the device, whether it's 10, 20, or 100, I mean, a pack of smokes, which maybe they're not doing so much anymore, is not $100. So I think we want to discourage smoking and vaping. I think we want to make a reasonable fine that, the thing in schools, they're not fining kids in schools. They're taking the vapes away, and they kick you out of school if they want to. They can easily kick you out of school. Whether you're 18, 19, 17, 12, they can kick you out of school, and that's a big penalty. That's a serious penalty, and your parents aren't going to like that either. So I think the schools have a pretty big hammer when it comes to smoking. And my kids' school, they close all the bathrooms except one because there's kids vaping. So, they have a lot of tools, and they're definitely trying their best to keep it out of kids' hands. And I'm for that. Don't get me wrong. But whether it's 50, I think 300 is too high. I think 150 is too high. And if it's 50, maybe they'll give out more of them. That's my thought on it. But even at 500, the vapes are in schools, and schools have tools. And they can do all kinds of penalties. They can keep you off the sports teams. They can keep you off the clubs. They can, do all sorts of stuff to you. It's probably worse than a fine. But, I think it's an important issue to deal with. I think there's a lot of ways to deal with it. But increasing penalties has shown not to work. And I'm not a professional in the smoking, lung cancer, tobacco world. But people have told me that studies have shown increasing the penalties has no effect, and a lot of these kids and current law are T21 to make it adults, 20-year-olds possessing, tobacco, or if this bill is unamended, will be subject to a fine, which I just have a problem with that, so I'm going to object to the amendment.
Further discussion on conceptual amendment 1? Representative Ortiz.
Schools, and it's often the case that 18-year-olds are seniors in high
conceptual amendment number one, which only changes the fine.
I understand that, but it's a conceptual amendment. It's kind of moving kind of thing. I was wondering, in the concept of...
I'm going to keep it from moving and just have...
Understood clearly.
Conceptual amendment is to remove 300 and insert 150. Further discussion? Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
In wrap-up.
Actually, can I make one comment, please?
Representative.
Thank you. If I'm not mistaken, the representative that left of me has an amendment for $100. Yet, interestingly enough, he introduced 150 into this one. So, you know, it is a moving target.
Thank you, Representative Josephson.
Well, no one in the room needs to worry about our friendship. It's strong. But I will tell you that the 150. Since we're looking at amendments that aren't before us, the 150 makes perfect sense because I have 100 and 200. I'm meeting my amendments in the middle, so it's sort of exactly right. Representative Wohl said that we are increasing penalties. We're not. Under the amendment to the amendment, we're decreasing them, I think, more than 300%. Because remember, we're starting at 500. He wants to go to 50. That, I think, is 1,000%. I'm saying let's go down about 300% to 150. So young people, if they were ticketed, would not have to go to court and would pay a fine of up to 150 instead of up to 500. We're being very generous here. And you know, fundamentally, even if Representative Wohl's argument that, well, this isn't going to change behavior, look, it's not working now, I subscribe to Mr. Lampkin's thesis, and that is, I think there are some people raised like me, however imperfectly, that are aware of this sort of authority and abide by it or try to. And they know this is wrong and this is okay. And they'll learn that there's a $150 fine and they'll talk to each other about it. So that's why I'm here.
Thank you. And I will be generous and allow Representative Johnson to speak after a wrap-up comments.
Would it be out of line at this point to introduce the conceptual amendment that Representative Ortiz said and change that number from 18 to 19?
Conceptual amendment number one is to take the fine from $300 to $150. That's conceptual amendment number one to amendment number one, and we are going to take that to a vote. Madam Clerk?
Representative Wohl.
No.
Representative Carpenter.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Laban.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Rasmussen.
Yes.
Representative Thompson. Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Merrick.
Yes.
Six yay, five nay.
And with a vote of six yay and five nay, conceptual amendment number one to amendment number one has been adopted. Takes us to amendment number one. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce conceptual amendment number two, which would change that from 18 to 19. And the reasoning for that would be that most, not all, but most people that are in high school are under 19 or under, some aren't, but 18, there's lots of 18-year-olds in high school, so that would take that out of the realm of the high school as far as making it somebody that's buying it for someone else.
Thank you. So conceptual amendment number two to amendment number one changes where it has the number 18 and changes that to 19. Is there an objection?
Check.
Representative Wohl.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think there still should be some value in being 18. We're not going to let kids in high school that are 18, we're not going to prohibit them from voting because they're in high school, and maybe they might vote in support of cigarettes or something. I think there should be some sanctity to being 18. I firmly believe in that. And I know know kids in school that are 18. There's seniors in high school that are 18. But it's still highly against the rules. And unless they're going to start searching lockers and do body searches on people to make sure they're not possessing a vape, and then they say, well, I'm 18, I can possess this, and then they go to court, I don't think they're doing frisk down. I think if they catch kids vaping, they take it, and they kick you out of school if they want. It's still highly against the rules. I mean, I can be as old as I am, and I can't smoke at a movie theater or an airplane or a bank. It's it's legal for me to buy, possess, but there's so many places I can't smoke, even though I'm over 18 or 19 or 25. I can't smoke there, and I follow those rules, and if I do, I'm going to get in trouble. Same with an 18-year-old. I just respect the 18 thing. I mean, like I say, you can go to war, you can kill people for the government, and you can't buy cigarettes or tobacco or vape. You can't buy it, but, you know, I just think I'm sticking to 18.
Thank you. And Mr. Lampkin, what does the current statute say?
Madam Chair, presently the statute is 19.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Wohl.
Well, no.
Further discussion on conceptual amendment 2 to amendment number 1? Seeing none, in wrap-up, Representative Johnson?
No wrap-up.
Thank you. Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
Madam Clerk.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Laban.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Rasmussen.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Wohl.
No.
Representative Carpenter.
Yes.
Representative Merrick.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
9 yay, 2 nay.
And with a vote of 9 yay and 2 nay, conceptual amendment number 2 to amendment number 1 has been adopted. That takes us to amendment number 1 as amended. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Amendment number 1 has been changed to make it 19 and over 19 can possess, can't buy or have it sold to you. It's a $150 fine, and I still move amendment number 1.
Thank you, and I would like to clarify, is it over 19 or is it 19 and over?
I believe if you're 19 and over, so 0 to 18, you cannot possess. 19, 20, you can possess, you can't buy. 21, you're finally an adult.
I just wanted to clarify that it's 19 and over, not over 19. Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think that there's reasonable compromise struck, and I do appreciate the fact that we were able to remove 18-year-olds who, while I greatly respect those 18-year-olds who do serve our country and are legally able to vote, my son, for example, is born in November, so he missed the fall cutoff for school, and he will be 18 in November of his senior year. Almost the entire school year, he'll be 18. So I think 19 is much more appropriate to keep these vaping products out of the high schools, which I understand is the underlying intention of this bill. It's a good intention, and I, with that, will support the amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Laban.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does the bill sponsor have an opinion about the amendment as amended?
Senator Stevens.
It is an interesting discussion, and I just would have to say that it's been very tough on teachers. I'm a former teacher here. I'm glad you changed it from 18. I think that's too young, because then you'd have kids that are smoking, and you couldn't stop them, and the teachers would be just, they're having a tough time controlling it anyway. So where we are right now, yes, I'm fine with this.
Thank you. Further discussion? Hearing none. In wrap-up?
No, thank you. Thank you for the work of the committee and the somewhat less approval of the bill sponsor. I appreciate that. And, I think, as has been stated, vaping's a problem in schools right now, even with 19, even with $500, even with a court appearance. So I think the problem won't go away. Like a lot of social problems, drinking and so on, we try to pass bills that we think are going to solve these problems, and hopefully it helps, but I think there's other means too, but I appreciate the work.
Thank you. Representative Josephson, do you maintain your objection?
I don't object to Amendment 1 as twice amended. No.
The objection has been removed. Is there further objection? Hearing none, Amendment Number 1 as amended has been adopted. Amendment Number 2 by Representative Josephson, is there a motion?
There is not. I won't offer it.
Amendment Number 2 has been withdrawn. Amendment Number 3 by Representative Josephson, is there an emotion?
There is not, and I won't be offered.
Amendment Number 3 has been withdrawn. Amendment Number 4 by Representative Rasmussen, is there a motion?
Madam Co-Chair, I move Amendment 4.
Object.
There's been an objection. Representative Rasmussen.
Yes, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Amendment Number 4 is offered to help clarify the bill and protect Alaska's young and growing cannabis and hemp industries. It's my understanding that Senate Bill 45 is offered to help prevent kids from using and getting addicted to vape devices. What we've also heard is that these vape devices rely on nicotine, and that is the target of this bill. The bill seems to be written broadly, and it's unclear if the intent is to tax all vape products, including cannabis and CBD and cessation-only products. And I think if we're looking to tax only the nicotine, that's one thing. The way that the bill is currently drafted, it does encapsulate all vape-related products. We rely on statute AS 1738900 to define marijuana and marijuana products and references the Department of Natural Resources Industrial Hemp Program. While the bill attempts to protect marijuana in a couple of places, after consulting with stakeholders, we understand that the bill does leave the door open for taxation of CBD, even as amended, and other non-THC derivatives of hemp. I believe that we already took up the amendment for the devices, so I think we're covering the substance, the whatever vape substance they are using, and I would ask for your support on this amendment.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, I would like to ask the sponsor or his staff their opinion of the amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Lampkin.
Jim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Before you, again, want to confirm Delta.9?
Correct.
Thank you. The first page of this amendment is the result of negotiation with the industry. We recognize that the hemp industry is growing. We recognize that it's a good industry that we want to not damage. I would caution the legislature on this insofar as CBD and hemp oil is generally understood to be something that you rub on as a lotion or ingest as a pill. I have some research here that from the Department of Law, Consumer Alert, dated November of 2018, cautioning the use of the unregulated CBD oil. When it comes to inhaling these substances, there's not a lot of data out there, but there's certainly a lot of warnings about it. So whereas, at least for now, as a policy, I'm just offering you this information, I'm not necessarily an opinion on it, just to be cautious of what we put into our lungs. So the first part of this, I think, is agreeable, at least for now, until we discover what damages might be occurring when people inhale this substance. Particularly also, I know I found that on the market presently, it's quite popular to create a CBD product that is intended to be aerosolized, particularly when it's combined with nicotine. Combining those two substances is a popular thing, but it's also seeing some severe damage, lung damage, and to people's health. But provided that, at least for now, I'd recommend or propose that as long as there's not nicotine in the CBD product, that at least page one of the amendment is not unreasonable at this time. However, on page two, that would introduce a new section 22 this language was not negotiated. It was only last night brought to my attention. If you read carefully, my interpretation of this, and legal agrees with me, that particularly where you it's basically exempting folks from filing monthly returns that are licensed to sell tobacco and other tobacco products, OTP and e-cigarettes. It would exempt them if they sell their products only to marijuana stores. That's line 13 on page 2. Or if they are a CBD manufacturer. So in this instance, if they sell to both a marijuana store and a nicotine vape shop, by the strict definition of the way this is worded, they would be exempt from being taxed on those products. And therefore, I would just offer that fact to the committee. This would substantially, I think, undermine the bill and the purpose of this legislation. Furthermore, at least presumably, you know, there's, and you should have in your bill packet, there's, I believe it's 18 local communities in our state that tax e-cigarettes. And so these filings are already occurring. I'm not of the opinion that it's overly onerous for them to basically copy and paste their reports that they're submitting locally to then also submit them to the state. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to have, pardon me, Nicole Reynolds, the Deputy Director of the Tax Division at Department of Revenue, weigh in on this. Ms. Reynolds?
Hi, good morning. This is Nicole Reynolds with the Department of Revenue and Tax Division. What was the question? I didn't hear that.
We were just discussing whether in Amendment Number 2, which is D9, if line 13 would cause people not to have to file monthly reports. Pardon me. I apologize. We're on Amendment Number 4, which is labeled D9. On line 13, talking about selling electronic smoking products. Perhaps Mr. Lampkin can explain it more succinctly than I am.
Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Ms. Reynolds, on page 2 of Amendment of D.9, that new section 22 is interpreted as in instances where licensee under the tobacco, cigarette, OTP, other tobacco products and e-cigarettes, if they only sell their products to marijuana, but what if they sell to both a marijuana store and a vape shop that's for nicotine? By interpretation, legal would indicate that this creates an incentive for licensees to begin setting up shop to sell both marijuana and nicotine products.
Thank you. Through the chair, this morning was the first that I've seen this amendment, so we really would need to, you know, analyze it a little bit further before we can give a definitive answer about what would and would not be required in terms of filing a report or a return.
Okay, that's fine.
I think we could get back to the committee on an answer to that.
Thank you, Ms. Reynolds. We appreciate it. And I'm going to invite Representative Rasmussen's staff to come forward at the request of Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, this is Crystal Keeneman, staff to Representative Rasmussen. When we were having this amendment drafted, talking with industry, the intent behind this was to hold the marijuana and hemp industries harmless. This was the language that legal came up with when we had discussed with them the need to hold them harmless. I am happy to, with House floor session starting here shortly, I am happy to circle back with industry as well as Ledge Legal to get an answer to definitively determine whether or not this language does what we believe it to do or whether or not it it aligns with what the sponsor and his staff have told you.
I think that would be prudent. Representative Wolt, briefly.
Thank you. I'm just trying to understand the amendment as well and what the intent is. And when you say industry, I assume you mean the marijuana industry.
Through the chair, Representative Wolt, that is correct. Yes,
not,
sir.
Not the vape or nicotine or tobacco store industry. And you are in the marijuana industry. Is that correct?
Representative Wolt, through the chair, I am not. My husband is in the industry for disclosure purposes, but I have no connection.
Thank you. So is the intent of this, because it says marijuana products, hemp or hemp products, and I think what Mr. Lampkin was referring to was that you could have a hemp product, a CBD product that has zero THC, just like a nicotine product has zero nicotine. So a hemp product, CBD, you can buy at a grocery store or something like that. So if you had a vaped hemp product that has no THC, you could, in theory, sell it at a vape store. You wouldn't need a marijuana license. You could sell it anywhere, and it would be a vape product. And I think what Mr. Lampkin and the intent of this bill is, anything you're kind of puffing on, we want to tax as if it's a cigarette, basically, because we want to discourage puffing, the act of puffing. So with this amendment, if a hemp product with zero THC and a zero nicotine, I'm assuming, or was sold at a vape store or convenience store, if this amendment were to pass, would it be taxed as a tobacco-related product?
Representative, well, I believe Ms. Koneman has stated she's going to get further information, and we will continue this discussion at this afternoon's meeting.
And Madam Co-Chair, I withdraw my motion to move amendment forward and come back to it this afternoon.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Representative Wolf.
I'm just trying to understand the amendment.
Absolutely, and we will get further information for this afternoon's meeting. So this afternoon, besides coming back to Senate Bill 45, we will also look at Senate Bill 131, Firefighter Workers' Comp Disability, and Senate Bill 172, Dentist Specialist License. Thank you, everyone. At 9:57 a.m., we are adjourned.